Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you all know, demons are real. The devil is real. A real spirit creature, powerful, cunning, ferocious, and relentless. The Bible associates demons with false doctrine, with idol worship, and with shadowy influence over the world's governments. You and I may not have obvious encounters with them. Or maybe we have encounters with them and just don't understand what it is that we're facing. There was a girl in the city of Philippi who was possessed by a demon at the time of the Apostle Paul. It was called a spirit of divination, allowing the girl to tell people their fortunes with a supernatural degree of accuracy. It's not impossible that there are demons involved still today in some cases of fortune-telling or witchcraft, or perhaps in certain conditions that are otherwise diagnosed as illnesses. I have known both Christians and non-Christians who were convinced that they were being troubled, even terrorized by demons, and I can't rule out that possibility. At the same time, I'm skeptical of many modern claims of demon possession, as well as modern claims of demon exorcism. There is no evidence in Holy Scripture that the miraculous gift of being able to cast out demons would continue after the days of the apostles. And most of the claims of modern exorcisms are directly tied to teachers of false doctrines that lead people away from Jesus. So even if the possessions are real, the exorcism accounts may not be. Or, in truly diabolical fashion, the demons could be playing along with false teachers, willingly leaving their host in order to lend support to the false teachings of the false teachers. Whatever doubts we may have about what's going on today, there can be no doubt about what was going on at the time of Jesus. Holy Scripture is a dependable witness to such things. Demons were, at that time, most definitely taking control of people's bodies in various ways, as the mute man in our text today, or as in the case of that fortune teller in the book of Acts, communicating directly with certain individuals, giving them knowledge of certain things they could not otherwise know. They seem to have swarmed the world at the time of Christ, since we hardly hear anything about them tormenting people prior to that time, and no one was able to help until Jesus came along. Jesus drove out demons easily with a word, just as he did in today's gospel, where that demon was keeping a man from being able to speak. And Jesus didn't have to drive out demons in the name of someone else, nor did he need to ask his Father's permission or power to do it. The Father had given him the Spirit without measure. As he says, after his resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The people of Israel were rightfully amazed at Jesus' power over the demons, which was unlike anything they had ever seen. But the devil's children were there too. Not some sort of spirit children of the devil or hybrid humans, but human unbelievers whose spiritual attitude was according to the devil's image, not according to God's image. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, they accused. Jesus responds to that accusation with a series of answers. First, he shows how silly it is to claim that he is driving out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a Hebrew name. It means Lord of the Flies. It was used a couple of times in the Old Testament to refer to the god of Ekron, which was one of the Philistine cities, and it became a title or term for Satan himself. To say that Satan was somehow helping Jesus to drive out the demons against the demons' will implied that the devil had somehow turned against his own angels, his own followers, in which case his kingdom was doomed from within, destined to self-destruct, and would soon cease to be a threat to God's people. If the devil had turned against his own demons, then the Jews had nothing to fear from the devil any longer. But that wasn't the case at all. The devil remains a fearsome enemy of all mankind, and especially of God's people. So, no, the devil was not the source of Jesus' power. Well, what about the sons of the unbelieving Jews? By whose power were they casting out demons? Jesus asked, "If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges." I take this to mean that no one was driving out any demons. No one was able to. Even if they claimed the power of God, they weren't able to drive out the demons. No one could do what Jesus was doing. So, if Jesus was actually successful at driving out demons, which everyone there admitted that he was, and if it wasn't by the devil's power, then there was only one conclusion that they could reach. This was the mighty seed of the woman whose coming was foretold already in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was the one who had come to crush the ancient serpent's head. That's exactly what Jesus himself concludes here. "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The kingdom of God is a reference to the reign of Christ, his invisible reign here on earth, which will be followed by his visible reign after Judgment Day. He then follows up that statement with the example of the strong man and the stronger man. This is one of the major teachings in these verses. The devil, with all his demons, is like a strong man who guards his possessions within his house. People are those possessions. Whether or not those people are possessed bodily by a demon. The Apostle Paul writes this to the Colossians in chapter 1. "God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." That means that before we were brought to faith and baptized into Christ, we were under the power of darkness, outside of Christ's kingdom, dead in our trespasses and sins, like the rest of unbelieving mankind. All who are outside of Christ belong to the devil, whether their bodies are possessed or not. And if they are possessed, then the devil holds on to them even more strongly. That's why it took a stronger man, Jesus, to come in and conquer the devil and take away his armor in which he trusted so that he might set free his possessions. That's the picture Jesus gives us of himself. Well, of course he's stronger than the devil because the devil is a creation of God while Jesus is true God and the devil's creator. Not that he created him as the evil one, but the angel who became the devil is, by his very nature, inferior to Christ, just as all the angels are inferior to Christ. But even as true man, Christ is stronger than the devil because he is a sinless man who fights against the devil with his Father's full approval. He is the mighty champion who went to the cross in order to remove from the devil his right to accuse or hold on to anyone who is on Jesus' side by faith. You see how important it is to be on Jesus' side in this epic spiritual battle. Because there are only two sides. As Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So who are the Christian's allies? We may have political allies or community allies who aren't believers in Christ Jesus. There is a place for that in this world, and Christians and non-Christians can work together and support one another in those earthly endeavors. But in spiritual matters, there can be no such allegiances. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, "What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial?" Another word for Beelzebub. "Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" No, if a person is not on Jesus' side by faith in him and by obedience to his word, that person is not the ally of Christians and shouldn't be seen that way. That person remains on the devil's side. Jesus then gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm, something that only he can do, so that we can understand what's at stake here, how important it is to be squarely on Jesus' side. He describes what happens when a demon leaves a person whom he was inhabiting. He wanders around for a while, and then he goes back to look at the state of the person in whom he used to dwell. And if he finds that person's heart swept and put in order, or empty, as St. Matthew says in his gospel, then it goes back in. And it invites its demonic friends to join it and make that person's life far worse than it had been before. This is another key teaching in these verses. The believer in Christ Jesus has the Holy Spirit dwelling in his heart so that the devil can't get in. His heart isn't empty and swept clean. He may be able to get away, the devil that is, to get away with terrorizing a person on the outside for a while, and he can surely tempt a believer in Christ, as he was even able to tempt the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. But the one who is clinging to Christ in faith cannot be possessed or controlled by any demon. I can't think of a stronger warning or encouragement to make sure that each day you're living in repentance and faith, and that you never toy with the things of the devil. Idolatry, pornography, sexual immorality, witchcraft, sorcery, fortune-telling, Ouija boards, all such things. Instead, as Paul said to the Ephesians in today's epistle, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as his beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God to be a sweet-smelling aroma." But sexual immorality and all uncleanness or greed, let it not even be mentioned among you as is fitting for saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse joking, which are not proper for you, but rather thanksgiving. After hearing all of this from Jesus on that day, a woman in the crowd stood up and tried to praise Jesus for his words. But her praise was misfocused, if you will. "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Mary, Jesus' mother, was certainly blessed, but she can't help anyone against the demons. She can't help anyone with anything. But Jesus can, and his word can. Hear him, God the Father said to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. So don't let your faith or your praise become misfocused. Hear Jesus. Trust in Jesus and do what he says. Put his words into practice and you will be blessed, which includes being kept safe from the devil and all his evil angels and all their wicked schemes. If you're with Jesus, you're with the stronger man, and he will be your ever-present protector against the evil spirits. As St. Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.